Robert Stewart speaking from Manila. For the past 3 days, General Yamashita, the butcher of Manila, has been sitting behind the desk at the left side of the improvised courtroom where his defense attorneys supplied by the Army have kept up full steam contesting almost every statement by the prosecution, and he has absolutely ignored the entire trial and its proceedings. He doodles with a pencil and paper, and when he does not doodle, he is watching for someone to take his picture so he can smile in the best Japanese fashion. The man referred to not long ago as the Tiger of Malaya is no longer a tiger, but a mild kitten. The trial is being held in the former United States High Commissioner's residence on famed Dewey Boulevard, overlooking Manila Bay, with Yamashita facing where he can see the mighty monuments of December 1941, Corregidor, and Bataan. High spot of the testimonies given so far were those of today. One 34-year-old widow wept as she had to relate the story of how she and her family watched terrified beyond description as the Japanese massacred more than 100 people in the residence compound of the house right next door, and saw the same Japanese slash down the 4 Filipino and French unarmed civilians with bayonets and long beheading swords and sabers. How afterwards the house was burned, with the people still inside suffering and dying. She told how the Japanese then came to her own house and took away her husband and sister, then ordered herself and her 15-year-old son and 9-year-old daughter to come out into the yard. The daughter was screaming, "Mommy, Mommy, what are they going to do to us?" The daughter was taken outside, and this poor mother has never seen her since. She herself and her son hid underneath the house for hours while the enemy soldiers shot volley after volley into the house. According to this gallant Filipino woman, after what seemed hours, a friendly voice said, "It is all right to come out now." The young son crawled slowly from beneath the house, and as he put his head through the small crack into the daylight, there was the crack of a rifle, and the son slumped back near the spot where his mother lay terrified. Another story today was that on the 9th of February this year, the Japanese enticed from 800 to 1,000 insane, hungered, unarmed civilians into the St. Paul's College dining room by throwing candy on the floors. Once inside, the doors were slammed shut, the roof was blown down on the trapped screaming creatures inside, and the place was set afire. Those who did not burn to death went screaming mad and leaped through the windows in a last dash for safety, only to be met with blistering machine gun fire from the area surrounding the inferno. For those Japs who did not have machine guns and wanted to enter into the sport, there were grenades which were thrown, not sparingly, into the blood-blended horde as they fell crashing through the windows to the ground. Later this afternoon, the entire courtroom slumped with tear-swollen eyes as one of the last witnesses this day, a 28-year-old girl, unfolded the nauseating tale of two Japs making great sport of throwing an infant baby into the air and catching it with a bayonet. This girl saw that baby with 12 inches of cold steel run through its belly, dangling in midair. Today, the Tiger of Malaya was looking timidly at the floor as this young girl stared at him with unseeing eyes and said the two Japs were grinning like fools. At trial end today, the Japanese general of the Imperial Army stood up, his green khaki shirt open at the neck in sports style, his knee-high boots polished to a cold steel brightness, his four rows of gaily colored campaign ribbons pinned smartly on his chest. The general smiled and bowed deeply to his defense counsel and to the correspondents he met in the hall. This is Robert Stewart speaking from Manila. I return you now to Fraser Hunt in New York. This is Robert Stewart speaking from Manila. For the past 3 days, General Yamashita, the butcher of Manila, has been sitting behind the desk at the left side of the improvised courtroom where his defense attorneys, supplied by the Army, have kept up full speed, contesting almost every statement by the prosecution, and he has absolutely ignored the entire trial and its proceedings. He doodles with a pencil and paper, and when he does not doodle, he is watching for someone to take his picture so he can smile in the best Japanese fashion. High spot of the testimonies given so far were those of today. One 34-year-old widow wept as she had to relate the story of how she and her entire family watched terrified beyond description as the Japanese massacred more than 100 people in the residence compound of the house right next door. She also saw the same Japanese slash down the 4 Filipino and French unarmed civilians with bayonets and with the long beheading swords and sabers. How afterwards the house was burned with the people still inside, suffering and dying. She told how the Japanese then came to her own house, took away her husband and sister, then ordered herself and her 15-year-old son and a 9-year-old daughter to come out into the yard. The daughter was screaming, "Mommy, Mommy, what are they going to do to us?" This young girl was taken out, and the poor mother has never seen her since. The mother and her son hid beneath the house for hours while the enemy soldiers shot volley after volley into the house. According to this gallant Filipino woman, after what seemed hours, a friendly voice said, "It is all right to come out now." The sun crawled slowly from beneath the house, and as he put his head through the small crack into the daylight, there was the crack of a rifle, and the son slumped dead back near the spot where his mother lay terrified. Another story today was that on February 9th of this year, the Japanese enticed from 800 to 1,000 insane-hungered unarmed civilians into the St. Paul College dining room by throwing candy on the floor. Once inside, the doors were slammed shut. The roof was blown down on the trapped screaming creatures inside, and the entire place was set afire. Those who did not burn to death went screaming mad and leaped from the windows in a last dash for safety, only to be met with blistering machine gun fire from the area surrounding the inferno. For the Japanese who did not have machine guns and wanted to enter into the sports, there were grenades which were thrown, not sparingly, into the blood-blinded hordes as they fell crashing through the windows to the ground. Later this afternoon, the entire courtroom slumped with tear-swollen eyes as one of the last witnesses of the day, a 28-year-old girl, unfolded the nauseating tale of two Japanese making great sport out of throwing an infant baby into the air and catching it on a bayonet. This girl saw that baby with 12 inches of cold steel run through its belly, dangling in midair. This is Robert Stewart speaking from Manila. I return you now to Fraser Hunt in New York.